Awesome God, we worship you this morning. We thank you so much. We are grateful, Heavenly Father. Lord Jesus, we are grateful. Holy Spirit, we are grateful. For indeed, we are gathered this morning unto Mount Zion, the city of the living God, the heaven Jerusalem, though to an innumerable company of angels, to the church of the firstborn that is written in heaven. Wherefore, as we gather here, they will come by the blood. I come by the blood, Father, this morning, confessing my sins. Lord, sins of omission and commission. I put my confidence in your message, Father, to be a faithful steward of the word. Lord, in the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, that grace be sufficient for me today. And in the help of the Holy Spirit, as I set you at my right hand, as I minister today, you grant me message to be a faithful steward of the word that will bring out of treasure of word both things that are new and old, as a scribe instructed unto the kingdom. That as the word goes forth this morning, under covering, it will go forth in power, let it go forth in accuracy, in simplicity, in the comfort and love of the Holy Spirit, causing yokes in our life to be broken, causing our wills to become more humble, our minds to further enlighten by revelation knowledge, and our emotions to be further controlled by the power of the fruit of the Spirit. As I share from your word, Father, I pray for grace to redeem the time, not to say things that are unnecessary. Holy Spirit, once again, I set you at my right hand, I lean on you for help, to help me to bring a word in season to your people, in Jesus' name. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. For some time, we've been in the book of 1 Timothy, chapter 5 now. And let's look at the Bible, the book of 1 Timothy, chapter 5. We stopped in verse 10 the last time. 1 Timothy, chapter 5, let's read from verses 9 to 10. Praise the Lord. 1 Timothy, chapter 5, verses 9 to 10. This was where Paul was talking and instructing Timothy's spiritual son about how to relate to widows in the church. Are we there? So we are this, we finished off in verses 9 and 10. It said, let not a widow be taken into the number under what? 80 years old, having been the wife of one man. Next verse. Well reported of what? Or for good works, if she have brought up children, if you have also lodged strangers, if you have washed the saints' feet, if you have relieved the afflicted, if you have, what does it say? Diligently followed every good work. So in these two verses, we see Paul telling his spiritual son Timothy that look, when he wants to accept widows in the church for support, he should not take widows that are under 60 years old. And we'll see the reason as we continue. So he was telling him, and I also said that look, this the widow that you take for bring into the church for church support must also have been married only once. That was what he was telling him at that time. You see, we'll see as we continue. He's not saying it is wrong to remarry. So I want to say that ahead of time. You know, but he was just telling Timothy, because you see, at that time, as we'll see or as we read on later on, the church at that time used to support widows. And you also see that widows themselves used to come to church or at that time by their gatherings, and they will make a pledge that they are not going to marry again, and they will spend the rest of their lives serving God. We'll see. We'll read for Amplified to see clearly. But it was not something that it was compulsory for widows to do. But some people took it upon and said, okay, look, I'm not getting married again. I'm going to just make a pledge and serve God. So, which was not wrong. It was a free offering that they decided. We'll see as we continue. So, in those two verses, that the widows that he takes in, that Timothy takes in for church support must not be under 60. Are you following me? And then they must be married once. So, we're talking about those at that time that Timothy should support. Are you following me? So, it's not a law. But let's just follow. This is an historical account. Verse 10. It says that, well reported. Let's say it together. Well reported for what? Good works. So you see, a widow must not be a lazy person. You know, someone that is bowed down because of what has happened. And then the person doesn't just take his life easy. Are you following me? But it's like I said the other time. You see, all the things he was telling widows apply to every saint in the body of Christ. You see, because the Bible says that we are saved unto good works. So it's not only widows that must be well reported of for good works. Praise the Lord. So it says that, it said, if she have diligently followed every good work. That means widows are supposed to be diligent. Just like every saint are supposed to be diligent in following after every good work. Are you following? Praise the Lord. So, and I put the scripture, Titus chapter 3, which is from verses 8 and 14. You see, what does it say? Titus chapter 3. But they say, this is a faithful saying. Mind you, the letter written to Titus here was not written to widows, but written to the church under Titus. So it applies to every saint. Even though we're talking about widows in the book of 1 Timothy chapter 5. So this is a faithful saying. And these things I will, that thou affirm constantly, that they which have believed in God might be careful. How many of us believe in God today? We are born again. Are you following me? Might be careful to do what? To maintain. What does it say? To maintain good works. These things are good and profitable unto men. Verse 14. What does it say? Verse 14. It says, and let us also learn. Say, learn to maintain good works for necessities, that they may not be unfruitful. So he's talking to the church here. Even though we are talking about widows in 1 Timothy 5, but it applies to everybody. Ephesians chapter 2 verse 10 says that we are Christ's workmanship created unto good works. Like Pastor will say, we are not saved by good works, but we are created unto good works. I follow him. So we need to have that at the back of our mind. So either you are a saint or you are a widow, once you are born again, you have been born again, and then people need to see your works. You are created unto good works. I follow him. Praise the Lord. So today we'll move a step ahead and look at two verses. We'll continue with verses 11 and 12. Let's just put in the Amplified because of time. In 1 Timothy chapter 5, look at verses 11 to 12 to start with. Here you see Paul begins to instruct Timothy not to put widows, the kind of widows that should not put on a church support. Let's see. He said, but refuse to enroll on this list the younger widows. Now I mentioned earlier on, he said, don't put widows under 60 for church support. Are you following me? I know he's been talking about widows indeed, widows indeed, widows indeed. Now we'll see the reason. We need to get the thought pattern why Paul wrote what he wrote. Are you following me? He wasn't hitting back at widows. But look at what he said. But like I said earlier on, what everything he said applies to a Christian. And it will be important for us to take heed to this thing. Say, but refuse to enroll on this list the younger widows. That means those are probably under 60. Are you following me? For when they become restive, say restive, and their natural desires grow strong, say grow strong, they withdraw themselves against Christ and wish to marry again. Now, we'll get that later. It's not saying that widows can't marry. Get that. He says that, but you see the reason why I said this. Next verse. Verse 12. And so, they incur condemnation for having what? Set aside and slighted their previous pledge. So you can see here, understand what I'm trying to say, that there must have been a time that when these people came, they made a pledge to God. That, okay, I'm going to serve under the ministry of whoever they were at that time, or under Timothy, and that they will spend their time serving God, maybe something similar to what Anna did, fasting and praying, just serving in the house of God. You know, they will say, okay, for me to do this, I'm not going to marry again. So I commit to Christ. Are you following me? I think it's clear from that school. Let's read again from 11 to 12 so I can get a picture, so we can understand the thought pattern of thought. Paul said, but refuse to enroll on this list the younger widows, for when they become restive and their natural desires go strong, they withdraw themselves against Christ. So we're talking about the relationship with Christ there. Are you following me? And wish to marry again. That means they must have made a vow of consecration that they're not going to marry before. Are you following me? All right, next verse. So it says, and so they incur what? Condemnation for having set aside and slighted their previous pledge. That means they must have made a pledge before God. We are going to get there, sir. So at least they made a pledge to God. Okay, it's a pity what happened, but God, I'm not going to marry again, so I'm going to serve you the rest of my life. I'm seeing the example. I believe that's what probably Anna did in the Bible. Serving God with fasting and praying, and then marry again. Bible records said the widow of 80 and first call year, something like that. I follow me. So that must have occurred at one time or the other. So, but Paul noticed something, you know, from this account, that those widows that were young, after some time, they began to get edgy. To be restive is to be edgy, to be nervy, to be unwilling to go on. I follow you. After they made that pledge and they started laying their hands to the plow, so to speak, they started getting agitated. And then they said that their natural desires began to grow strong and they began to withdraw. That is, they began to long to marry again, which is not wrong. But it's wrong for you to make a vow and not to keep that vow. Nobody forced anybody to come. That's why I said, you see the time when you say, he said, I would advise that young women marry. He said, don't put yourself under unnecessary pressure. Just get married, have children, and then keep the house. There's no problem. It's not by compulsion. Are you following me? But see, in this particular situation, the younger widows were having a problem with their flesh. That was the problem that Paul was trying to address. They will come to church, are you following me? Bad enough for out of emotions, or maybe, let me just tell them, they'll say, okay, you know, I'm not going to get married again. I'm going to serve God the rest of my life, which is good, which is fine. God is not against it, and he's not forcing anybody to do it. Are you following me? So, but after they begin, Paul said they become restive. That is, they begin to withdraw. I can't keep this thing again. The flesh begins to rest. Natural desires, you know, for a man to get married, all the natural desires in marriage begins to rise in them, and they can't keep their vow that they made to God. Praise the Lord. So, and like I said, they must have made a pledge earlier on to God and not to Timothy at that time, that God, this is what I'm going to do. So, Paul now says, he says that if you look, and the reason I put it here, why these things occur, we'll get an image. Paul says that they incur unto themselves condemnation. You see, Bible says that we therefore no condemnation of them that are in Christ Jesus. But you see, when you go and you make a vow to God, but say, don't defer. Because God does not force you to do it. But if now, in this context now, when they make that vow and they break that vow or the pledge, like it says in Amplified, the Bible says that, you know, they bring to them condemnation. God now begins to relate to them or to deal with them based on the vow that they made. Now, understand me. God is not forcing any widow to make a vow. We'll see as we continue. So it's that because they break their pledge. In KJV, it says when they begin to wax wanton. That's what the Bible says. What to wax wanton means to be without restraint, wandering from moral rectitude, being lascivious, lustful, or to summarize, having a lack of self-control. And again, you see, it applies to us as every Christian. You should have self-control. I follow him. That's why he talks about husband and wife. He said you can defer yourself for a certain period of time, then you come back together. Are you following me? So, what are we saying? They made a vow. Let's open our Bible to Ecclesiastes chapter 5. We read from verses 4 to 7 in Amplified. Ecclesiastes chapter 5. We read from verses 4 to 7. Are we there? It says, when you vow a vow, let's look at, when you vow a vow or make a pledge, you can link that to that pledge, to God, do not, let's look at, do not put off paying it, for God has no pleasure in fools. Those who witlessly mock him. Are you following me? That is when you make a vow to God, then you begin to pretend to people that see you, they believe that this person is this. These are the ones that are doing so. But you see, you are mocking God because you're not bringing forth the fruit of the vow you have made. Are you following me? So it says that witlessly mocking. Pay. What you vow. Next verse. It is better that you should not vow than that you should vow and not pay. So we lay that to what we are talking about, our widows. Paul says, it is better, don't vow, it's not by force. You know, but this same principle applies to every one of us. I follow him. Say, do not allow your mouth to cause your body to sin. And do not say before the messenger, the priest, the pastor, the set man, whoever is in charge, that it was an error or mistake. Why should God be made angry at your voice and destroy the work of your hands? So, you see, but what I want us to see there is it's not compulsory. Let's look at verse 7. For in a multitude of dreams, there is what? Futility and worthlessness and ruin in a flood of words. But reverently fear God, revere and worship him, knowing that he is. So what are we saying? Just to bring in the context, it's like a widow comes to church, sees another widow like Anna, serving God and fasting. So it wants to, let me just do this thing so I will not say I'm not spiritual. And any two goes and he dedicate himself and he say, I make a vow to God. And blah, 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 blah. And then he begins to go back on the vow he made. You see, the vow she made, is not, so to speak, just to religious, but to God. And God that sees in secret will reward openly. I follow what I'm trying to say. So, but what I want us to get here is this. It is not compulsory in the context. It wasn't like a law for them. Or else, Paul would not say they can remarry. So let's leave it as a dad. So, verse now begins to talk about the symptoms of those that fall into this category. Still talking about widows. Like I said, the issue here, as we see, is issue of lack of self-control. So not only to widows, it applies to every Christian. verse 13 in the Amplified Bible. We need to talk about them. It says, are we there? It says, moreover, see, as they go about, these widows that make the vow and break it. See, as they go about from house to house, they learn to be idlers, and not idlers, not only idlers, but say gossips and busybodies, saying what they should not say and talking of things that they should not mention. There used to be a busybody. You know, they used to have this TV, something, amiable. She can't just sit down for an hour. Or the program is not up to an hour. But in that 30 minutes that they do the program, she would have gone around the whole village gossiping. But you see, as it applies to widows, it applies to Christians. Because these are just symptoms of a carnal Christian. So don't look at widows and say, ah, when you say, God forbid, you say widow involved in that. So ask for life. But you see, you, as you are not careful, you can be, who told you that you don't see Christians today go from house to house and gossip? We don't even go from house to house. You just send text messages. Just send WhatsApp. Did you hear what happened to Pastor so and so and so? You just send it. By the time, it's worse now. Easier to be done now because you can just broadcast the message. Sitting in your room. And you want them, we are not gossiping. We will not be gossips in Jesus' name. So they're busybodies. What they begin to say, talk about things that they should not mention. It just comes to my heart. That is the kind of situation that occurred when this Ham did not cover his father's nakedness. Talk about things you should not mention. I kept his mouth shut. He's, but now nobody's going to, you're not carrying anything. But you do it very easy. Just take your phone. You hear this pro. And once it goes on the air, it's gone. You can't take it back. Praise the Lord. Will not be gossips in Jesus' name. So I said, you see, but the link with this character weakness, you find it in verse 5, where it says that must continue in supplications and prayers night and day. What is it? I wish to say that last two lines. It says, and perseverance. Say perseverance. Perseverance. In what? Supplications and prayers night and day. You see, this same principle applies to every Christian. If you don't persevere in prayers and supplications night and day, you are going to be moving towards that direction. You don't need to make a vow. But you find out that you can't control your tongue. You start saying things you should not say. Are you following me? So that is the link. That's why he began when talking about it. He says, look, when you want to take somebody, look, make sure that they must have a solid prayer life. Because that is the altar that sanctifies the gift. What is the problem with prayers night and day? It's the same thing, pray without ceasing. Definitely that person is going to be moving toward that direction. Doesn't have to be a widow. It's not because of being a widow that occurs. It's just a function of the weakness of the flesh. Are you following me? So we say they are gossips. As I put it, I say, these are all symptoms of a carnal Christian, which stems from a lack of consistent and diligent prayer life. Praise the Lord. And you see, let's open to Proverbs 26, verse 20. To see this character trait. Say, talebearer. Are we there? It says, where no wood is, there the fire goeth out. So, who is wood? How do you know whether you're a wood Christian or gold Christian? Say, where no wood is, where the fire goeth out. So, where there is no talebearer, what? Strive seeth. So, the wood speaks of a carnal Christian. Wood, hay, and stubble. So where there is no wood, the fire will go out. There won't be any problem. There won't be strife in the church. There won't be strife in the whatever group, in the activity group, everything. But once you see them, just look around and see that kind of problem. There must be wood there that keeps stoking the fire. So say where there is no talebearer, the fire season goes out. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 20, to support it. So you know what? The Bible now brings it out. It says, in a great house, there are many verses. 1 Timothy 2, verse 20 says, but in a great house, he's talking about the church, there are not only vessels of gold and also of silver, but also of wood, talebearers, and of earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. Next verse. If a man or a woman purge himself from this, it shall be what? A vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. So the problem with the widows there were tale bearers or Christians that gossip and backbite, but they have refused to use the blood, word, and spirit to purge themselves. They don't pray. Or they don't pray enough. It's so simple. I put it, I said, the purging, using the blood, the word, and the spirit in prayer, prepares us unto every good work. You know, earlier on, he was talking about widows, that they should maintain good works, right? So, if you see a widow, or a Christian, or a saint, or a pastor, anybody that is not showing forth good works, the reason is here, because he's not purging himself. Because it's when you purge yourself, using the blood, the water, and the spirit, are you following my train of thought? That you, God will now begin to prepare you to every good work. Because he told widows, he said, those that follow diligently after good works. Are you following me? So that is the problem. Because they refuse to purge themselves using the blood, word, and the spirit, that God may prepare them unto every good work. Praise the Lord. Verse 14. Thank you, Holy Spirit. It is well. Verse 14, Amplified. Amplified. Says that I would have younger widows. Let's look at that. I would have younger widows do what? Marry. So Paul was not against younger women marrying. So we shouldn't be under bondage if you are a widow. And saying, I can't marry. That's not what he's saying. It's not wrong to marry. He said, I would have younger widows marry. It's so clear. Bear children. Why are you disturbing yourself? Guide the household and not give opponents of the faith occasion for slander or reproach. You see, because when you do not keep your vow in that context, or you don't deal with the problem at its root, which is lack of self-control, you'll be forced to do things, tail bearer, misbehave, you know, become restive, like you said, you know, when you don't be able to control the fleshly appetites for sex and all that, and then you go and misbehave. And when you misbehave, people will say, I thought it was a Christian. Let's leave widows alone now. Whoever, a widow too is a Christian, so let's put on that Christian. I thought it was a Christian. How could he have done this? How could this have happened to him? And the people now begin to blaspheme the name of God. I say, even me, God, I'm not a Christian. I've not done it. Case in point, the boy in Corinth that was sleeping with his stepfather. He wasn't a widow. Stepmother, sorry. Sorry. That would have been terrible. If I would have been terrible. Or sleep ran affair with his stepmom. Are you following me? So Paul said, he said, it's not even heard of in the world. That guy brought reproach to the body of Christ in Corinth. That boy was okay. Deliver him to Satan for the destruction of flesh. By spirit. But you see, the problem of the boy was a lack of self-control. He did not use the blood. Say, he did not use the blood, the word, and the spirit diligently enough to purge himself under covering. You see, because when you begin to do these things, what you are doing is not sufficient because of a lack of growth. So it takes covering of two spiritual fathers to add to what you have done. Are you following me? So that you are not able to push back all those temptations when they come. And makes you look like what you are not. You say, you must be. You know, in scripture, pastor, if you go outside, they'll say, you must be a pastor. that is testimony of the house. Anybody, you must be a pastor. That's what covering does. But under covering, now keep on diligently growing and use the blood of to purge out, you know, those things. Verse 14. Amplify. Verse 14. Help your Holy Spirit. Verse 14. Okay, have you read verse 14? Okay, it says that I would that younger widows marry, bear children, guide the house, and not give opponents of the faith occasion for slander to reproach. There are many opponents today, even within the church. We're not talking about Muslims there. Even within the church, there are opponents to the faith, to the true faith of what you preach. So instead of saying remarry, say remarry, have children, and keep house. And the reason is that I've mentioned this, is that so that they will not give an occasion for the adversary to speak reproachfully against the church. Case in point, David. 2 Samuel chapter 12, verse 14. Let's just read it. 2 Samuel chapter 12, verse 14. I say, nevertheless, you know, this was after Nathan came to rebuke David. After he went to the Bathsheba and killed Uriah. So God began to analyze the situation through the prophet. And he said, nevertheless, because by this deed, you have what? Utterly scorned the Lord. Like those widows. Are you following me? And giving what? Great occasion. Say great occasion. To the enemies of the Lord. Both spiritual and physical. So Satan would have been laughing. Look at the man after God's own heart. Great occasion to the enemies of the Lord to blaspheme. Say, that child that is born to you shall surely die. Please, nobody whose child will die in Jesus' name. But what I'm saying is this. That was what Nathan told David because of what he did. Now, what was the problem of David? You find it in verse 1. Put it there. So when kings ought to go to battle. When kings ought to go to battle. Verse 1. Back to 1 Samuel. He said, after this, David inquired of the Lord, saying, shall I go up? What are you reading, for God's sake? And you guys have not purged themselves this morning. For that same chapter, go to verse 1. When it says, when kings ought to go to battle, say David tarried still in Jerusalem. Are you following me? So I put it there to make it very simple and understand. When do kings go to battle? Early in the morning. In present day context. But just can wake up with great right before dawn and go to battle. Are you following me? So when saints ought to join the good morning Jesus prayers, you tarry behind and you put your phone on snooze. Now I'm trying to, no, we are not going to a physical battle. In that time, David was supposed to go and fight a physical battle. Bible says that the words of our warfare are not carnal, wrestling against flesh and blood. Are you following me? So what are we saying? When David was supposed to go to battle, wake up in the morning and go and fight, he sent Joab. He said, Joab, go and handle it. He stayed back at home. And pray, look, go and pray. And we saw what happened to him. So the Bible says he brought the name of the Lord to reproach. So we'll not bring God's name to reproach. But the root cause is this: we must use the blood, say the blood, the word, and the spirit, especially morning prayer, to purge out the residual sin nature. So I can control all those things: anger, gossiping, adultery, fornication. Are you following me? It's very important we know that. So let's move on. So I put it here again to reiterate that he wasn't saying that widows should not marry. Neither did he want them to be under condemnation if they go and marry and they don't come and serve or make a pledge. So 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 8 and 9 in Amplified again to make these things clear. The same Paul talking about this situation. 1 Corinthians 7, verses 8 and 9 in Amplified Bible says, but to the unmarried, so that involves every single that is not married, single person. I follow me. But to the unmarried people, young boys, young girls, and to the widow. So he brings everybody together, those that are not married. He said, what is it? I declare that it is well. Say it is well. Good, advantageous, expedient, and awesome for them to remain single, even as I do. Next verse. You see what he's going to say now. He said, but, if they have not self-control. So did you have self-control? If they have not self-control, restraint of their passions, they should what? Marry. Why disturbing yourself? Just take the person to the and say, pastor. For it is better to marry than to be aflame with passion and tortured continually with ungratified desire. Both to those that are unmarried and to the single. So God said, look, if you can't, you've not learned, you are finding a problem to curb your flesh, go and get married. Like pastor taught us, that is not the best. If you get married, go and ask from Solomon, he married 100 women, he still could not curb their passion. His body was aflame continually. I'm sure God has given an extra year that married more, probably up gone to about 1,500. Yes. So it's a question of self-control. Even Abraham, after Sarah died, Abraham still went and married Keturah. Yes. And others, and he had children. Not self-control. Compare that to Joseph. Compare that to Joseph in a foreign land. So the issue we're talking about is self-control. Self-control. And that self-control is by the spirit. It's not by tying scarf or sitting men sitting here. Or no, you can still be aflame. You can go to a secondary school that's only boys alone. You can still be, how you want to go to university? It is well. So what are we saying? Not how to waste time. You see, it says that it's as well. I say it's all about time control. We must learn. Say learn to keep our body under by the spirit. That's what Paul said. He said, I keep my body under. The eye is not the flesh. The eye is the man that is born again. Paul on the inside. So he said, I, Paul, the spirit man, I keep my body under. So that after I preach others, I will not be a castaway. Or after I preach others, I will not do what David did. Disapproved. too much. Learn to keep up with your under. Now, I put it here when I was meditating. It says that aflame with passion. Flame talks about fire. I said it would take the rivers of living water, pump through traveling prayer in the spirit to quench the flame of inordinate passion. You see, you must learn it all. Young men, like Pastor will say, learn to keep your flesh under before you marry. Because the woman you marry today that is fine, they are screaming about, by the time you get married, you're going to somebody that is more beautiful, worldly, so to speak, than that person. So what are you going to do? If you chose by the flesh, or she begins to get fat all of a sudden, what are you going to do? I go to meet pastors. Meet pastor, Michemo. It's not possible. It's not possible. Oh, see what gal. Ah, I need what gal in Jesus' name. So what am I saying? What am I saying? I made it a bit funny, but see what I'm saying? That the issue is this. Learn to use the blood, the word, and spirit and practice. It's practice. Learn so that you are not moved, tossed one and fro. You have that passion. You kill it. Learn to kill it before you get married. After you get married, maintain it. Mortify the flesh of all its affections and loss. That is Israel. Marriage cannot deliver you. Like I said again, ask Solomon. Ask David. He didn't deliver them. He put David to the point of killing somebody just to satisfy that desire. Don't say it can't happen to you. It will not happen to us in Jesus' name. But let kings go to battle between 5 and 6 in the morning. Good morning, Jesus. Are you following my train of thought? So I will repeat it again. I say it will take the rivers of living water, pump through traveling prayer in the spirit to quench the flame of inordinate passion. Colossians, yes. FIFA says, so kill. How about you don't want to kill? Kill! Kill! Deaden. Deprive of power. The evil desire. Locking in your members. So as you are pointing to me, I'm pointing to you. Locking in your members. Those animal impulses locking in your members. Are you following me? And all that is earthly in you that is employed in sin. Sexual vice, impurity, sensual appetites, unholy desires, and all greed and covetousness. For that is what? Idolatry. And deifying of self and other created things instead of God. Now the scripture, I don't have time to turn there. Where Paul's talking, he said, meat for the belly. And belly for the meat. He knows that destroy both of them. He now says that, he said, listen, he said, the body is for the Lord. And the Lord for the body. Put it on the board. Say the body, yes, your body. My body is for the Lord. God said, just like he said, no, it is not me. Say a body that has prepared for me. So God wants that body to be prepared for him. So put it on the body. But he said, the body is for the Lord. And the Lord is for the body. When he was talking about immorality, book of 1 Corinthians. Somewhere in 1 Corinthians 6 or 7, I can't remember. He said, the Lord is for the body. That body you carry around is for the Lord, though. That body, I don't want to digress. That body you keep on putting tattoo on. It's for the Lord, though. Amen. That body you begin to abuse. It's for the Lord, though. And the Lord for the body. And it's coming to that temple. So if you are not ready, he says, best of the temple than them that worship bearing. He said, there are the cost that is outside, leave it. Make sure the temple is ready. Because the glory of the Lord is coming. It's not that we expect. As you say, meat for the belly and belly for the meat. But God shall destroy both of them. There's no sex in heaven, no. There's no marriage in heaven. They don't give birth to children in heaven. I'm not saying it's wrong, but it's okay within the confines of a marriage on earth. Nothing outside. It's because now the body is not for fornication, but the Lord for the Lord. And the Lord for the body. Say the Lord is for my body. Let's move on. So I put it here. Yes. Okay, let's continue. Help me, Holy Spirit. Verse 15. In KJV. Verse 15 in KJV. Now after you're talking about, she's talking about widows that have turned aside. So he said, for some, not all. Because he said there are widows indeed. That's why I said, you cannot understand the spirit of thought when it's about honor widows that are widows indeed. So those that are not widows indeed. Also Christians that go this route are not Christians indeed. But I said, by their works they deny him. So he's talking about Christians too. Say, for some, not all. Say, I'm not part of that some. Already, are already turned aside after Satan. That means they didn't turn aside initially. Now let's, for time, just to summarize it, what does it mean to turn aside after Satan? I have two examples here. Moses, Exodus chapter 3, verse 3. As you turn there, I put it in my notes. I said, from the above scripture, we can either turn aside after God or turn aside after Satan. It says, some have turned aside. I mean, initially they are turned towards God. After that, I began to turn aside after Satan. No, nobody is going to see Satan sit down that chair and then say, I'm going to. No, no, no. Nobody has seen Satan before. I follow you. But when just looked at Peter, I said, get it behind me, Satan. That means at that point, Peter had mistakenly began to, it's a process, began to turn aside. Why? Because he didn't put his face down. So Moses, Exodus 3, verse 3 and 4. Say, and Moses said, you know that story, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt. Is that is the fire of the Holy Ghost. When it gets to go to your body, you see, begin to destroy sin. And when the Lord saw that he did what? He turned aside to see. God did what? Called him unto him out of the midst of a bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, just take that word, turn aside. So I said, you can either turn aside to God or turn aside after Satan. These widows, they were not, or Christians, let me keep mentioning widows, or Christians that turn aside after Satan. I mean, they didn't turn aside to God, they turned away from God. The second example is the Israelites. Exodus chapter 32, verse 8. Exodus 32, verse 8. That was when Moses was on the mount and he was coming back. And God told him, what did God say? He said, they have turned aside quickly out of the way. What is the way? Love. I show you a more excellent way. Now, we are taking this Old Testament truth, bringing the New Testament to reality. Nobody's going to any Orioke to go and be writing New Testament commandment. Understand? So we are talking. What said, look, they have already turned aside quickly out of the way, which I commanded them. And they have made them a molten calf, and have worshipped him, and have sacrificed thereunto, and said, this be thy God, O Israel, which have brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. Covetousness. The entire church, some, most, have turned their sign today after Satan. True covetousness. A dance around the golden calf. The second example I mentioned is Solomon. 1 Kings chapter 11, which is from verses 3 and 5. To see what we are talking about. See, you can say, I'm not going to turn outside. It's not a one day thing. It's a gradual process. And it involves the heart. It's not the physical act. The heart must have turned aside before the body now moves. It's important. Let's look at the story of Solomon. And he had 700 wives, princesses, and so what? After the will of God. And 300 concubines. And his wives did what? They turned away. Say, turned away. His heart. Next verse. For it came to pass, when Solomon was old, you don't have to be old for it to happen, that was a time that was keeping the commandments. I follow you. That his wife did it. They turned away. Say, turned away. What did they turn away? His heart. Say, his heart. After other gods. And his heart was not perfect with the Lord his God, as was the heart of David his father. Bible says, keep your heart with all, not some, diligence. For out of it flow the forces of life. So if you are not in the habit of continuing in prayer and supplication night and day, you don't have to marry many wives like Solomon. Circumstances, the cares of his life, the deceitfulness of riches and lots of other things, they will gradually begin to turn. You just find it begin to turn. It's not, don't wait till the time you don't come to church. There are many that come to church. These widows are going to church. Yet Paul said they've turned aside. You are in the church now. Why are they in the church? They didn't say, that has him that I'll live it, but that day. That will not be a portion of Jesus. Verse 4. Back to that place. I've not finished. 1 Kings 11, verse 4. I put verse 3 to 4 to 5. Are we there? Okay. 1 Kings 11, 3 to 5. If you like, don't turn there. 4 minutes extra time. Maybe you have not watched World Cup. 1 Kings 11, 3 to 5. Okay, let's move on. So what does it mean to turn aside after Satan? I'm timing myself. Okay. It says that he has 700 wives, princes, 300 combat, and his wife turned away. Next verse. Four. For when Solomon was, next verse, read that, verse 5. For Solomon said, went after Ashtoreth, the goddess of the Zodians, and after Mekom, the abominable idol of the Ammon. Now, before Solomon went after those gods, his heart had been turned. So you can be coming to church, and your heart may be, but say, where your treasure is, there will your heart be. So it's a heart issue. So, next verse as we continue. I put it there. I said that we turn aside. I said, what does it mean to turn aside? We turn aside after Satan when we begin to and gradually stop keeping God's commandments of life and love with all our hearts. It's a gradual process. I'm not talking about when we make a mistake. No. But it's a gradual thing. When your heart begins to, the will, the mind, the emotions, it begins to gradual place. Begin to move it like that passage direction of a dish. It moves it today. You're not seeing things clearly again. You don't judge yourself. I can't see anything on my DSTV something again now. Instead of going and resetting it, go to those that are able to reset, then you keep quiet. And the heart turns. Then suddenly, the same Solomon, a God appeared to twice, left the same temple and went to go and worship Ashtoreth. He even brought them to the temple. Many have brought them to the temple today with all the doctrines of devils that they preach. Covetousness. Idolatry. So I say it starts from the heart. That's why the Bible says that Matthew 15, it says, their heart is far from these people. They draw down to me with their mouth. Their heart is far. So it is the heart we are talking about. That we need to guard jealousy doesn't turn after Satan. A heart that is turned after Satan is an indication of the altar of prayer that is broken down. Let's say God, a heart that is turned after Satan is an indication of the altar of prayer that is broken down. Verse 5, it says, continue it in supplications and prayer night and day. You can link it down. So we'll look at the story of Elijah. I said, if you pray without sin. 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 30. You know that story. The people in Israel at that time, their hearts have been turned away from a true God. And then they went to Mount Carmel. So save time. 1 Kings chapter 8, verse 13. What does it say? It says that then Elijah said to all the people, like we are shouting and screaming today, come near to me. Come near to me. And all the people came near to him. And he did what? He repaired. Say he repaired. The altar of the Lord that had broken down. That had been broken down by Jezebel. Jezebel's spirit in the church. Witchcraft. If you look at the story that we mentioned about the children of Israel, they were turned to idolatry. Covetousness. The golden calf. So also, in this time of Elijah, they are turned away from the true God to worship Baal. So God raised up Elijah like he's done in this end time. So I will send my prophet before you, that he may turn the hearts of the children to the fathers, and the fathers to the children. So I will not smite the heart with a curse. Why? The spirit of that measure was to be released upon Lord Jesus Christ. It was to be a blessing. But if they were not ready, we will bring a curse. For many will be destroyed. Yeah. So I don't, my God doesn't curse people, so to speak. But what can supposed to be a blessing can be a curse. And you take Jesus Christ. Or when Ananias and Sapphira came and lied. I follow my train of thought. So it says that please just stay. Okay. So I put it, I say, God is once again calling us his church to himself to turn to him with all our hearts. Malachi 4:6, like you put it there. What does it say? It says that. And it shall turn. Listen, and it shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children. And the heart of the children to their fathers. Lest I come and I smite the heart with a curse. I already mentioned that's what God is doing. Elijah speaks about the end time fathering ministry. Through fathers in the body. You know, notice there were other prophets at that time. But even there were 100 that Obadiah hid. But they did not carry the anointing that Elijah carried. They did not have that anointing to turn the hearts back into their prophets. There are levels of anointing, no? So we need to recognize the end time Elijah Fabry ministry. Their mission is to prepare the way that the glory of God may be revealed and all flesh will see it. And I thank God again, it's not flattery. That's the ministry I've been under. For myself, I've been under since the day I got born again. Because you begin to observe, you begin to obey their instructions, it begins to change your heart. You see, when your heart begins to turn towards Satan, that thing just brings it back. That's why you are here today. Yes, that is the end time. When Elijah came on the scene, the first thing he did was repair the altar of the Lord that was broken down. That is what is going on in the morning prayer we are doing today. Every day, every morning, the altar of prayer is being repaired. The altar of prayer is being repaired. The stones have been set into place. The wood, that flesh that makes you gossip, God puts it on the altar. Then he pours 12 barrels or so of water. Then he puts the stone there, 12 stones, speaking of government. Then the fire of God comes down when you begin to pray. And it consumes the sacrifice. Don't miss those morning prayers. Why do you want to try and do something alone? When you can join forces together. The Bible says, one will put 1,000 to flight, two will put 10,000 to flight. So, I said there must first be a turning back of the hearts of God's people to God through the end time Elijah ministry before the manifestation of the glory of God. It's progressive. The altar must first be set. The altar, the prophets of Baal, they've had their day, but this is where we are now. The altar is being repaired. So once that is done, then we are set for the manifestation of glory. 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 37. That same discourse. No glory could come unless they repaired the altar. Hear me, O Lord. Say, hear me, O Lord. Hear me, that these people may know that thou art the Lord God, and that what? Thou hast turned their heart back again. I mean, it was there before. Remember I was talking about widows, but no, let us focus on widows. Said some of them have turned aside. So the church has turned aside after Satan through idolatry, covetousness. So the Elijah ministry has been raised up now. A church without walls. So he said, come here unto me. Come, come. He repaired the altar. It was Elijah that did it himself. Are you following me? It was Elijah that did it. Based on divine instruction. That's why he said, hear me, O Lord. Hear me that these people may know that thou art God and thou hast turned their heart back again. You see, there's somewhere there where I don't know. It says this. It says that let them know that everything I'm doing is according to your word. Good morning prayers is not man's idea. It's not man's idea. Because if you are not there that day, the next thing when the fire falls, they say, gather all the prophets of Baal. Okay, let's just read. Let me just tell. It's a Bible study. Let's stay with Bible study. 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 37. We read that. Now, 37. Help me, Holy Spirit. Help me, Holy Spirit. Okay, hear me, O Lord. Hear that these people may know that thou hast turned the Lord God and thou hast turned the heart back. You see, that was after the altar was laid. Next verse. And it came to pass, not before. The altar was laid. So the next thing on the agenda. And it came to pass at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice. The evening and the morning is the first day. Wedding the third day. Sacrifice that what? Elijah the prophet came near and said, Lord God, say Lord God of Abraham, Isaac and Israel, a covenant God. Let it be known this day that thou art God in Israel and that I am thy servant. And that I have come, I have done all these things at thy word. It's not man's suggestion. I keep saying it. It's God's divine instructions. Next verse. Verse 37. 37 time. Time is gone. 37. Hear me, O Lord. Hear me. That is who may know. Next. Okay, 38. 38 because of time. Then, what happened? After I did that. Then, what happened? Fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice, and the wood, and the stones, and the dust, and licked up the water that was in the trench. He licked up that sin nature. that was on the wood. He burnt it. A pastor will say, he says, God wants to burn out. But you see, you have to burn out the sin nature through effectual fervent prayer. By the fire of the Spirit, dynamic in its working, to cooperate in succession under covering. If I was able to do it many years ago, I've done it myself. But it would take two to put 10,000 to flight. It's a corporate thing. With Elijah at the head, setting the stones of the altar. Praise God. So I put it, I say, God, as I stop, God is once again calling us, his church, to himself, to turn to him with all our hearts. That is the message for today. Joel chapter 2, verse 12, as we pray. 2:12. Are we there? Joel 2:12. Therefore also now, says the Lord, turn and keep on, put it in KJV. I think KJV explains it better. You know, KJV is kind of sharp. You know, I don't need to explain myself now. So, and therefore also now, say the Lord, turn ye even to me with all your heart. Say your will, your mind, your emotions. Not with some. All your heart and with fasting and with weeping and with mourning. Next verse. And what? Rend your heart and not your garments. And turn unto the Lord your God, for he is gracious. Say, God is gracious. And merciful. Slow to anger and of great kindness, and repented him of the evil. Now, God doesn't do evil. But we're in the day of the Lord. Bible says it's the great and terrible day. So, say, don't rend your garments. For so long, we've been rending our garments. God's outward show. Say, rend your heart. That's how you turn away from Satan. Say, rend your heart and not your garments. Say, because why? This is a time of grace. And God is merciful. You see, before you enjoy the blessings that said, I'll put away the land, I'll rejoice the whole land. This must happen first. That is where we are now. And it's going to take corporate intercession to rend your heart. There are some things I've been battling now for many years. I've been struggling with it. When the corporate unction comes under prayer, you know, I put my there, covering, everybody, boom. It will just blow. Then you see a new person. No more superfluity of nothingness. You say, what happened to you? No more cunning craftsmen. What happened to you? I can't really explain, but I'll just send them that link. Just to summarize. Are you following me? So, basically, that's what I believe God wants to tell us today. We should turn back to the Lord. Let's go back to 1 Timothy. That's the message for today. But I just want to round up with the scripture so I can finish this issue about widows. Next verse in 1 Timothy chapter 5, I think it's verse 16, where Paul is talking about widows. I just want to stop there. But the message today is that God wants us to rend our hearts and our garments, to turn to the Lord. Because why? Elijah already set the stones in order. The fire is about to fall. So we need to be there on Mount Carmel. I don't have time to go there. Because you know, after the fire fell, you know what he did? He said, I hear the sound of the abundance of rain. Said, I hear the sound of the abundance of rain. Then he said, help! Go! So that this rain does not come while you are there. Then Elijah, the guy ran with Elijah, overtook him. Bible said, the plowman shall overtake the reaper. Hold on. You know what happened? Then he said, go! So he said, go to the beginning and go and check. He said, when he got there, he said, I saw nothing. He said, it is the seventh time. When the seventh day. He said, I saw a cloud. Like you had a small, but it didn't just say cloud. He said, a black cloud. It's starting from here. From beyond the rivers of Ethiopia. My supplies shall come. Put it there on the board. And he said, go up now. Look toward the sea. And he went up. And he looked and said, there is nothing. And I just said, go again. Say, go again. Go again. Seven times. Next verse. And at the seventh time, said the seventh time. And notice that it was in the evening time. There shall be light. A cloud. Say a cloud. A small cloud. It's got to mushroom from Gideon's army to Joel's army. So he said, I saw what? I rise at a little cloud. Say, fear not, little flock. Are you with me? He said, don't you have a little strength? Philadelphia Church. He said, I saw what? Follow me in the spirit. He said, these are not in my notes. Say, behold. Say, behold. You all must look and see into. And rather the cloud out of the sea, like a man's hand, arrows in the hand of a mighty man. Follow me. And he said, go up. Say unto here, prepare thy chariot and get thee down, that the rain stop you not. Next verse. Next verse. And the hand of the Lord was on Elijah. No, you've skipped somewhere. Now repeat that. I said that thing mushroom to be black cloud. Are we there? So, and it came to pass. In the meanwhile, as they begin to pray in the mornings, good in the heavens. How happened? He said that the heaven was black. Say, I'm black and comely. Say, I'm black and comely. I'm black and comely. Said I saw what? Hey, why did God say black cloud for God's sake? It's for such a time as this. Say a black cloud with clouds and wind. And there was a great rain. Say great rain. And Ahab rose and went to Jezreel. There's a black cloud. Who are they that flies to the skies? And like doves to their roosting in the windows. What is God telling us today? There's a black cloud about to appear in this 7th day from beyond rivers of Ethiopia. Let's stand up and pray. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Elijah has set the altar. He has put the stones on the altar. I said, come unto me. Come unto me. Come unto me. Say, whoever soever is thirsty, let him come and drink. All your labor and heavy laden, come. Say, come. Come. It's free of charge. It's only going to cost you your credit, whatever you use to lower again in the mornings. Say, come unto me. Say, come unto me. That's what he said. Say, come unto me. So when they came unto him, then before their very eyes, repaired the altar. All had been broken down. They repaired the altar. Said, God, if this thing that I've done is by you, then let fire come down. Notice the altars these guys prepare couldn't bring the glory, the fire, which is spirit that measure. It wasn't until Elijah raised that altar. Say, okay, God, this is the final battle. Say, okay, God, if I've done this, you know, at your word, let fire come down and consume the sacrifice. Your body is the temple of Holy Spirit. Presenting your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. It is your reasonable service every morning together by 4, 5, and 6 to lay that body down on the altar. But if fire comes down, it will destroy everything that has to do with flesh. You no longer gossiping. So when that fire comes down, then the rain will come. And it's going to come through that black cloud. Praise the Lord. Thank you. Let's lift our hands to worship God. Let's lift our hands to honor the Lord. Let's thank the Holy Spirit for his visitation in our midst today. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We reverence you. Lord Jesus, we reverence you. What we reverence you? We thank you. Thank you. Because the Bible says you will guide us into all truth and you show us things to come. Thank you for covering, Father. Thank you for Pastor. Thank you for Mommy. Thank you for this Elijah ministry that's been heralding your word all these years. Now we're in that time, we're in that season. We worship you, Father. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you so much, Holy Spirit. Words are not enough to say thank you. Thank you for Pastor, Father. Thank you so much for Mom. They will not be weary in the name of Jesus. They will reap the fruit of their labor. That is the manifestation of the glory. We're going to get down. Say, can't them what you have double honor? Double portion. God, you're building a people of power. God, you're bringing. Sing it with passion. We are part of that army that God is raising up under covering.
That will move to the land by your spirit and will glorify your precious.
One more time. God is building a people of power.
God is building a people of power. God is raising a people of praise.
That will move.
That will move to the land by your spirit.
build your church, Lord.
Make us strong.
Make us strong, Lord.
Join our hearts, Lord.
Join our hearts, Lord.
To your son.
To your son.
Put one hand on that heart that wants to turn up our system. And raise the other hand to God. We'll not turn up our system in Jesus' name. But say, Father, I confess our sins. And so we'll clean them with the blood from all unrighteousness. Say, in Jesus' name, I have life. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for your word that has come to me today, reminding me that once again, you are turning the hearts of the children to the true fathers. Therefore, I humble myself. And I submit to this word today as I draw nigh unto them in submission and humility obeying their instructions to rebuild the altar of prayer in my life, that I may be part of your end time just army that will manifest your glory in Jesus' name. Let's pray in tongues. In Jesus' name, Father, we thank you. Lord Jesus, we thank you. Holy Spirit, thank you. Thank you for covering. Give you all the glory, Father. All the praise, all the honor we give back unto you in Jesus' name.